Many individuals just haven't got the will to good. This is why it's important to keep a spiritual diary. Don't ask me for a consultation and then come and sit in front of me and tell me you haven't kept a spiritual diary. I'll kick you out. The spiritual diary is terribly important, because things like the will to good are not clear even to the most sincerest individual. Might not know that he lacks the will to good. Might think that the will to good is being a good boy. It's nothing of the sort. The will to good is the quality which the whole planet Earth should be aspiring to. The will to good. 25 years ago, it was goodwill. Well, goodwill. Today, it's the will to good. And the struggle to feed the starving masses of the world is not going to be solved by mere world goodwill. It's going to be solved by the will to good. And there are many such problems. The problems of AIDS. Did I say it here? But certainly I said it at lectures in England, all over the country. People ask me, what is AIDS? And I can remember saying the words, and I'm sure Marcus has got the words on one of the lectures. The soil of the planet is very, very old, and embedded at great depths sometimes, there are viruses, crystals, containing diseases that have never emerged during our history. But because of the turmoil on the surface of the planet, the digging of dikes, the tunnel under the channel, the scraping of the top of the earth to some considerable depth when we clear forests and so on. All these things are churning up, especially in Central Africa, which is only now being converted to industrial and agricultural processes. There will be thrown to the surface these germs, viruses especially, which are crystal and capable of being buried for centuries without losing their virility. They'll be thrown to the surface, and diseases like AIDS will show themselves. They should not be pinned on any community, nor should they be tucked under the carpet. They're going to come out again and again in different shapes and forms. And so the world is an exciting place, and we have to do our service work within the context of the earth. Now, because I become associated, you would if you were in my position, and you can quite easily create my position by becoming totally dedicated to the work. If you were in my position, you would hear the call of many a person's soul when it is in anguish, especially in the dark of the night, but it can quite easily come as part of the transition from sleep to wakefulness at dawn. You will sometimes hear the call of some soul in distress, and it'll always be your Christian name that is called. The Christian name is your name. The surname is the family name and other people's name. Christian name is yours. First name is yours. And you will hear from the depth a call, Douglas. And you will know instantly who that is calling. It is so clear, so clear. Douglas. That's all. That's all. And that puts me into action straight away. I may not even be able to talk directly to the individual, but I will take steps to do whatever I can to help that soul in distress, knowing that the opportunity of that lifetime is slipping away in its personality, or that that personality is in the grip of some situation which I can somehow affect for the good. When we talk about increase of responsibility, this is what I mean. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you? Are you? Indeed you are. But at what level are you? Not just at the phone call level, at much deeper levels. In that call, not always tragic, because sometimes when you are worried about a particular individual, the voice may come over, Douglas, telling me that the work that has been done is good. Don't worry about it. Quite all right. And when you listen to this, you must think how ridiculous or how extraordinary. But puzzle it out for yourself. Don't always think that images are going to be, or calls or sounds are going to be, the calls of cherubims and angels, as I said this morning. Think out the reality of the situation. How else would you do it? Quickly, easily, without mass loss of energy on your part? A call, a simple call. A call for help, a call of delight. A call that can tell you all sorts of things. And you do your best, and I have done that many times, and still without any progress. And so you get a call again from the same person, Douglas, and you redouble your effort. But it is very rare for a second call, and it is hardly ever that you get a third. That's the order of things. I don't know why the inner reality, that great family that we all come from, does not send out and fetch us in. There's some law against it. We have to do it ourselves. We have to get back ourselves to where we came from. It may indicate to what extent the soul is cut off from its personality. I know a famous person. Lovely person, whose soul is cut off from the personality. So that person goes on careering in a sea of glamour, not particularly hateful in any way, but to the despair of the soul. And so the matter of the soul purpose comes to you. And if you're going to be a group leader, the word leader is always abominable, but if you're going to somehow hold together a group, then these matters, which seem so simple and silly, are very important indeed. So bear these things in mind. The spiritual diary, for my sake, keep it to begin with anyway. It'll sort out all sorts of things in your life, all sorts of things. Get your rays analyzed. Doesn't necessarily mean that because somebody has come to a conclusion about your rays, that that's your rays forever and ever. The soul's ray changes slowly. The personality ray may change according to events. Some devastating thing may happen to an individual and his personality ray may change in that period. So does the mental ray to some extent. The physical ray hardly ever, and the astral ray only with great effort. Always try and break a habit. And the sooner you do it, the better. It's much better if you can do it while you're young, or younger than older. Very hard when you're older. I'm struggling now, not with habits, but I'm struggling with the matter of vigor. Somebody asked Carl Jung when he was knocking on 70, 65, 70, how he was coping with his writing, his creative work. And he said, well, when I was 65, I could manage 2 or 3 pages a day writing. When I was 70, I could manage 2 or 3 lines a day. And after that, well, it's just hit and miss. It's not easy. But you have one very great asset, one of the rewards, and that is meditation. And even if you don't have some glorious vision, and I know you will have them, even if you don't have a glorious vision, there are things that can happen that are very helpful indeed. You can have the experience of meditating every day and finding that the sutures of the skull, of course you won't be able to find it if you're not an anatomist and can't recognize it, but let me assure you that if you are meditating properly, regularly, each day, that the sutures of the skull, which are like that, and should knit tightly about the age of 60, 62, 63, final ossification. That ossification is delayed. It is delayed by the secretion, what can I call them, neurohormones. So that the brain can remold itself as it regenerates. And old age can be, the effects of old age can be put off in terms of your creativeness, your creative ability through meditation. So meditation can reduce ossification of the skull bones, allowing the brain still to be reshaped. They can show it today that if you show some particular interest, rather interest in some particular field, that area of the brain will develop. And you want that to go on and on. Because pursuing the wisdom is an ongoing process forever. You never run out of it. When I was a young man, my little group met up with a woman called Clara Codd, a theosophist. She was into her 80s and still touring the world. We had her over, and she just entranced us with what she had to say. Lovely, lovely old thing. You get lovely examples of this. Even Annie Besant was pretty good into her 80s, and many others. You never forget when a soul calls to you. Never forget it. It's as if a new dimension of appeal has been released into your life. We're constantly confronted with appeals, of course, but the appeal of a soul is something that is. And it's heartbreaking to see a person's soul being denied growth because of the actions of that particular personality. It's caught up in something or the other that's not what the personality wants. And the personality will, if necessary, curtail energy to that individual. And it may show depression or suicidal tendencies, because the soul constantly floods the personality expressing its desires, its wishes, its purpose. Oh, if I could only tell you how many times I've been defeated by something and just lain there absolutely devastated. Then quietly and gently, I felt the warm embrace of the fire coming from he who was Plato, engulfing me, taking all the sting out of the bones, taking away the letdown and the depression, filling the nervous system, vigor, vitality, and then entering into a huge torrent of fire. Passing from the vertex of the head right down through the tips of the toes. When you come out of that, you feel you could fight the whole world. Now what gift is greater than that? What gift is greater than that? And if you're an artist and not a mystic, the same applies. It's there. If it was not there, I would not tell you so. It's there. Fire, which creates enthusiasm in some. And I mean fire. When I say fire, people switch off. They say, oh, well, he means spiritual fire. It's as real as the fire in any grate. It depends on how it's thrust through you. Obviously, if you're a neophyte, you've never had it before, it might only come down the spine in a thrill. You hear some music in a concert. You just sit there and you feel your spine quivering. It is a gentle application of a fire that can be turned on so strongly that all sorts of physiological phenomena could be measured while it flows through you. Fire and enthusiasm. And theos, enthusiasm coming from these words. The Greeks used to say that the person who was with theos was a person in contact with a god. A god had got hold of him and was flooding him with fire. Sometimes this call, and of course if you have a knowledge of the rays, it helps tremendously. You can identify things about the soul and its personality that is making the call. Sometimes the call is from a super gifted, a child lost somewhere, a pearl lost in the mud of matter, a soul trying to reach such a pearl, pluck it out of the mud of matter and to polish it and to give it to humanity, or humanity's diadem, humanity's crown. And of course you can't explain to anybody, listen, I've got to help this child, he's super gifted, I've had a written application from his soul, and I must set out, and I'm going to pawn everything to see that he gets a good education. Then you've got theos, enthusiasm gone mad. You have to be careful. You have to locate the child. You have to reason with the parents and show you're not trying to steal the child. And many other things. And this is, I'm just a frontiersman on this subject. I'm just the forerunner of something that will occupy humanity tremendously, the matter of dealing with the super gifted of the race. Not those beings with high IQs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about beings that are spiritually highly developed. They are souls of great age. I used to say 20 or 30 years ago that Buddhas galore were awaiting incarnation. Buddhas galore are awaiting incarnation. And they're streaming into incarnation now. And I can't do a damn thing about it. Well, I can here and there. There's the same old attitude to them. Oh, you should see what we had to put up when I was your age. Why can't you get out and get a proper job from 8 till 6 every day? They can't. I'm not trying to defend the kid next door or somebody like that. I'm just saying they can't. And we shouldn't expect them to. And though you might be able to manage a discipline just like that, and everyone would say, well, that's great, there are some highly evolved individuals coming into incarnation, and you have to fight for them. Fight even in my own group for them. And you have to bear the knowledge as who they are and sometimes cover it up. Just help from a distance or from a background. The world is a very cruel place. The super gifted. If you pointed to one of them and said, that's a super gifted child, you can be sure that he would become the target of inquiry and persistent attack. Yes, attack. Why? Because he's different. He's the ugly duckling in the group. He's super gifted. Huh. Why? Because he can't show that he's a business executive in miniature. He can't produce a string of degrees. What are you looking for? What he has is a highly developed, refined soul that could help this planet over more of the difficulties that lie ahead. Do we thank the gods for Gorbachev? Have we already forgotten what it was like 3 years ago before he appeared? Suddenly, out of nowhere, with his perestroika? And are we so quick to condemn him because he couldn't institute it and put it into operation just like that? We are a very, very cruel race, and we're made cruel by the matter of materialism. These are the finer points of discipleship. These are the kind of things that you should learn to put together, should write in your diary. Things that came out, stuck out from me to you. Put them in your spiritual diary. Go over them again later and see how you are developing them. These are the essences of the New Age's groups. They're going to transform things. Reagan says, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if the conditions are right, the soul is highly developed, the karma is at least neutral or good, and so on, as I've been through it already with you, then it may be that Plato will discover, investigate the background of such an individual, dig out from perhaps a morass of other lives, the life that would be best for that individual to know about. Not the one that he would think was the most glamorous. The one that would be best for him to know about. Why? How? What would it do? What good is that? A lot. Because if that life is known and it is of a certain quality or type, it can act as a spur to that individual to make contact with his soul, to put himself at the soul's disposal, perhaps to enter a field of expression or creativity that he had never dreamed possible, but which had been something expressed adequately, beautifully in a previous life. When I was given lives very slowly, to my mind, when I was given lives, I began to see a pattern in them. I could see that I was making the same damned mistake that I had made life after life. And if that could be removed from this one, I could see immediately there would be tremendous opportunities to further some work for the hierarchy. So it can be of help to know. On the other hand, it can be a nuisance, as I pointed out. Sometimes the work that you do, the way I've described, will indicate a blockage in the rays. Frequently find blockages in the rays. Some youngster is not making progress. Not making progress. And he's stuck. And he's going round and round in a circle, in an eddy, while the mainstream goes forward. And that is usually an indication of a ray that is stuck. Instant judgments on a situation. Rape, hang him. No other consideration at all. Hang him. That sort of attitude. That this fits that. Nothing else could fit, no point in it. The curse of the fifth ray of concrete knowledge. The trouble with these individuals is that they can't bend. They're not flexible. Would you tell a lie to save a life? Fifth ray wouldn't. I would. We're all different, aren't we? And there are different ways of teaching, as the rays show. There are some people who just can't possibly teach in this life because of their ray combination. First ray souls can't teach. They can teach teachers to teach. They can organize an educational program but they can't teach. And they give up. Frustration. Whereas the second ray preponderance is able to teach beautifully and suffers anguish if what she has to say is not in the right language for her class. A lovely little classy that she holds to herself. She doesn't want to go any faster than the class. There is extreme compassion. Love wisely applied. Wisdom lovingly applied. And that's the great joy of the rays and the ray psychology. If you've ever done psychology in any shape and form in the universities of the world, you'll know what a state they're in. What a state they're in. Pinning everything on the genes and chromosomes. It's in the genetic program. It's like the Christian saying, it must be right. It's in the Bible. The most confused book in existence. It's true because it's in the Bible. And of course, again, this is one of the things that you have to understand. You've got to take hold of yourself and shake yourself. Who's the guy Bleak House? The character that had to be picked up and shaken, otherwise he slid right down in his bed and couldn't move. You don't read Dickens? There are many things that you must learn to do. And I have, I think, given you quite a lot to think about. So as a finale, if you have any questions, please put them to me. Please, will you say something about initiations 1, 2, and 3? Thank you. It's not fair to say answer questions on these initiations because the subject is so immense. What I can do is to say here and now what initiation is. Initiation is an extra systemic technique, which means that it came from the Kumaras, who were a great family on the second globe of the Venus chain. And they came to the earth some 18 million years ago and began to stimulate the earth peoples in certain ways. And they are behind the process of initiation. And they set in motion a set of circumstances which applies a rod which gives out the kind of fire that I spoke to you about earlier in this session. And this fire does two things simultaneously. If only one thing is done, it's not initiation. It does two things simultaneously. And the first is that it increases the life force within that individual. And the second thing it does at the same time, which makes it so remarkable, is that it increases the consciousness, the awareness of the individual, so that the two form two snakes entwined around a rod, life and consciousness are applied through the rod of initiation. Now, that may not seem remarkable to you, but it is a very remarkable thing. Because usually when something that is psychic, I can't get a better word than that. Usually when something psychic occurs to you, it's when you are in a superconscious state or an unconscious state, when you are either unconsciously in mediumship or conscious in mediumship. And the one tends to act against the other. And so if you have an extension of awareness, you're usually cataleptic, which means that you are not able to respond with your nervous your nervous system and its vital forces. So the two, but to have them happen together is indeed a wonderful thing. The first, not so much. The second, wonderful. The third is beyond belief, and it incorporates what we know as rebirth. Death to this kingdom. Real death to this kingdom. And rebirth in the next. And I'm going to thank you again for coming along, and see you next weekend. Thank you, ladies.